Immerse yourself in Herbal Essence's new Moroccan Argan Oil Elixir, infused with pure argan oil. Just one drop delivers up to 100 hours of hair nourishment with the indulgent scent of a Moroccan garden. Herbal Essence's new Moroccan Argan Oil Elixir, spa quality hair repair without the price tag. Try it now. Herbal Essences. Surface repair to smoothness, nourishment with regimen use versus non-conditioning shampoo.
So there are a lot of people out there who are listening right now and they're super tired. Not the kind of tired that sleep fixes, but the kind that, you know, even though you go to bed early, you are still tired. You cancel plans, you take supplements, you try and rest, and yet you still wake up feeling like something is draining you. And today we're solving that problem because sometimes exhaustion isn't physical. Sometimes it's energetic. And if we don't name it correctly, we cannot fix it. Sandra Bailey is here. She is known as Shaman Sandra. She's a practitioner who works with emotional healing, trauma release, and energy restoration in a grounded and practical way. And today we're going to unpack something almost everybody feels, why we're so exhausted even when we are resting. Sandra, it's really great to have you here. I'd love to start simple. When someone says, I'm tired all the time, what is the underlying message or reason?
First thing that I check is their aura, because the times that we're in right now, the energy is very dark and it will stick to your aura and it will affect how that person feels. Also, if their chakras aren't open and balanced and flowing. So those are the first two things I look at. And then after that, I'll check them for cords or hooks. And then if that comes back clear, I know that they need a central nervous system reset.
Can you break all that down a little bit to us? So let's start simple. Like, what is energy and how does it deplete us in those ways? So you're saying you can see an aura, something in their aura that is off. Can you break that down a little?
Yes. So when I'm checking their aura, I'll check for that dark, heavy energy, and it will stick to the outside of the aura. And it's like an oily substance. So when your aura has that oily substance on it, it lowers your frequency, and that will make you feel exhausted. Now, hooks and cords, people can put those on you on purpose, or they can accidentally do it. And those hooks will keep your energy tied to that person, and along with the cords also. Usually that's done from a dark practitioner doing that to a person. And I also have seen where people's guides have done that to the client to keep them coming back.
Interesting. I've known of people who have worked with energy practitioners and they became almost obsessed with them.
Exactly.
So why does that happen? Like, how can someone attach themselves to someone else? Can you explain that in general terms?
Yes. So when I have clients that they've been continuously to another practitioner and have not healed, and when I go in and take a look at them, 90% of the time there's a hook or there's a cord, because that practitioner wants them to get better. But when they start getting better, they want that client to keep coming back. So they'll put the cord or the hook and they can target one area. For example, one lady I had, she had continuous problems in her right lung. The doctors cleared her. She was fine. They could not find a reason. And the old practitioner that she was going to had put a cord on her lung and was sending dark frequency into that lung so it would never heal, to keep her coming back.
Wow. And so how do you, as a practitioner, see that and how do you remove that?
What I recommend is to, because everybody has their own personal symbol, people just don't know, but the symbol of Archangel Michael, it projects fire. So what I do is I'll run my hands over that area where they're sick and I can feel it, because it will feel like pins and needles. And that lets me know it's there. So I'll burn it and then remove it.
And does it When it's removed, is it gone? And does the patient feel it immediately, or does it take a little bit of time to process?
Yeah, it's gone. And what I do is I burn it to where it goes back to where it came from too. So then the practitioner knows, okay, somebody found it and they burnt it. So let's leave them alone. That's usually how it goes.
Can someone attach energy to someone else without knowing?
Yes. That will happen a lot of times in relationships. You'll make a cord with them. And that's great, but relationships that are over and that you're finished with, you don't want to have cords connecting you to them.
Yeah. So is that another cutting? How do you release those cords?
What I do is I'll check in the solar plexus for the cord, and it's important to get to see if they have roots or seeds inside the solar plexus, because if you remove that cord, it'll grow back. So what I do is I take my hand and I go into the solar plexus and I'll manipulate that energy and then pull it out by its roots. And then if there's any seeds in there, I'll burn those.
That's so interesting. When you say burn, what does that mean?
The symbol that I use, I don't use Reiki symbols. Everyone has a symbol from Archangel Michael, and that's the one I use. So you can use fire with that symbol. So I'll use white fire to pull it out. And it's like that symbol can close portals too. It just can do a lot more than Reiki.
What is a portal?
A portal, usually some of those will open up in mirrors, and it's going to be an entryway to another dimension. And usually dark beings use that because light beings like angels, the Palladians, they don't have to use, they can just come straight to where you are.
So someone could, like, in your bathroom, your mirror could act as a portal for dark beings.
And your phone and TV.
How would you know that an entity has entered into your space?
People will talk about, like, for example, if it's in the bathroom, people will say, when I'm sitting down and getting ready to put my makeup on, feel this energy. And it'll be dark energy. So it'll be like low frequency. And sometimes people will feel like pins and needles. And that's like a sign that there's one open.
Yeah, I was talking to you a little bit about the work that I do as well on the side as an energy worker too. And one of the sensations that I sometimes get is this like tingling sensation in my face. And I almost think it's like a I don't know, like it's like a map for me. It tells me when I'm in the right space. But I also, when I walk into a space, I can feel like a heaviness sometimes.
And that's awesome. Because this is the people that I mentor. I teach them that we need to know, we need to have a calling card for these signs. You need to know what a deceased spirit makes your body feel like, what a dark being makes your body feel like, and a light being. And for me, if I come into a room and there's a dark being in there, I get severe neck pain, like severe. And if I'm around an earthbound spirit, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And then if I'm around a light being, I get all of these flashes of light that I can see in front of my eyes.
Yeah, I've had full light flashing from head to toe before, where I almost was blind.
I love that.
Yeah. So once these entities and attachments are removed, does that improve, or what does that do if you do not remove it? Like, how would someone feel?
From the dark energy or from a spirit attachment? Dark energy.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Like, what does that do to the body? How would someone even have a clue that it was happening to them?
So when you're around dark energy, it will cause you depression immediately. Like you're going to feel depressed and anxious. And that can be cleared easily with a salt bath or with smudging using sage. I recommend the salt bath because you can just get in there and then at the end you can take some of that salt water and pour it over your head. And it's gonna cleanse your aura, and then it's gonna extend it about 8 feet. It's one of my go-tos. I like that one better than the smudge because it's quicker. Now, a spirit attachment, what I've noticed is that people that have, a spirit attachment, it really affects your mind. Like you just do not feel like yourself. People will tell me they have racing thoughts. And one of the big ones is they get angry, like you've never seen this person do before. And that's because that's the spirit that's aggravating you, make you feel that way.
Wow.
And
So,
I'll tell them how you can get rid of it. Okay. So if you have a spirit that you think is attached to you, what you would say is, in the name of God, I call in Archangel Michael and 77 of his warrior angels to use their sword on anything dark or demonic around me right now. And the reason why you have to say in the name of God is that's the only phrase that will nothing else will be able to come in that has like spiritual authority.
wow. And then so they come in, and do you feel anything, or should, would someone feel it?
Yeah. His energy, Archangel Michael's, is super intense. Usually people will feel pushed or they'll feel pressure. And then they'll come in and then they'll use their sword on it and then it's gone. And we have these, but this was kept from us, this information.
So is it possible that then, if we cut that, say you're feeling a spirit attached to you use the tool, you call in Archangel Michael, you ask God for help, that if we're around the same energy, that it can come back?
Of the spirit attachment, the dark energy, yeah, it could come back. And the spirit attachment, if it does come back, that means you have a contract. Because during contract breaking, if you have a contract with a being and you get rid of them, their family member comes back because they have spiritual authority to come back.
Can you say more? What does that mean?
I'm
Give
sorry.
us an example. Can you give us an example so that we understand what you just said a little better?
Yes. All right. So I had a lady that was constantly getting harassed by dark beings. So the first session that I did, she was, she wanted to get the fast. We tried to do it the fast, quick way. I got rid of them. And then 2 days later, she said another one was back. So I did a shamanic journey, and that's where shamans go into a trance and see what's going on. And she had a contract with him. So that gave spiritual authority for that next dark being to come back and attach to her. But once we broke the contracts, nothing came back.
Breaking the contract with the person in 3D, like real life.
So what everyone has contracts with dark beings. So what me and my team do is we go into a trance and then we go and we break all the contracts that they had in this life.
And then that prevents the dark beings from being able to come in.
Yes.
Okay, so another term that I've heard is that, people can leak energy a lot. And can you explain what that means in normal human language?
For me, when I talk about leaking energy, that's because that person has holes or rips or tears in their aura. So that energy will leak. And it will also allow something to come in those holes and attach to your energy field, which will affect you. Leaking energy also, when you're with someone in a codependent relationship, you'll actually release a lot of energy and it goes to them. When it doesn't, it needs to stay with you, but your energy will go to them.
So is that like overgiving in a sense?
Yes.
Okay. And what about boundaries? Not having boundaries, can that cause energy to leak as well?
Definitely. Yeah. And I struggled with this. Oh my goodness. I'm very codependent. So I struggle with this. Yes. And I had to learn to keep that aura cleansed and to have boundaries and stop overgiving and overdoing. And especially when it's me, they're not asking for it. I'm just doing it. And that all goes back to, and I had a past life imprint that was affecting that dramatically.
Wow, and I know that I mean, I lived in fight or flight for like, I don't know, I'd probably say 30 years of my life, you know, and that is like I was wired but tired, you know, all the time. And being in fight or flight, not having proper boundaries, overgiving, then being an empath, I would take on other people's emotion because I was like, you know, an empath without boundaries. So it's like you're absorbing. I was an absorber. And that is really difficult. And if you're not aware of that, I mean, a person's going to feel exhausted and not have a clue what's going on.
Exactly. And it's hard, you know, because a lot of us are givers, and we have to set those boundaries, and that takes time. But I went through it too, so I understand completely.
So I want to talk about emotional cords and attachments. And so when someone cannot stop thinking about a relationship, or when they feel pulled towards someone, even if it's unhealthy, can you talk about what's actually happening there?
Yes, sometimes it's from past lives. Sometimes you have a relationship with someone in a past life and you made vows, and that will carry over into this life also. And then when you get it with someone in a relationship, or you automatically cord each other. So if that cord is not removed when that relationship ends, then you're still feeding each other. And what will happen when they think of you, it activates that cord. And then that energy goes between the both of you.
Got it. What about sexual experiences?
So that one's the most dangerous. If you're, you know, having a sexual experience with something new or someone new, you definitely need to cleanse yourself when you get home and remove those cords. And you can actually call in Archangel Michael to help you with that too. But you want to get all those cords, and you want to get that energy out of you, because you don't know, you know, who that person is. And what was the other part? Sorry.
I was just asking about why like we cannot stop thinking about someone. So sometimes, you know, I was wanting to go into more detail on we'll know that someone is not good for us logically, but we are just like cannot stop thinking about someone or desire their attention or want to be around them. And so those are examples you said of potential past life contracts with them.
It can be past lives or a vow or imprint. And if it's not that, and it's just in this world, then it's going to be a cord. Because it keeps feeding you. So when they think about you, you think about them.
Got it. So how do we remove those?
All right. Well, if you're not a Reiki master, let's do it. Let me see. All right, he'll be best for this. Okay. So if you think that you have some cords from someone and you want to make sure, what I want you to do, the same thing in the name of God, I call in Archangel Raphael to remove all cords and attachments that I have on me right now. But I would also throw in there, if it's a sexual experience, to find and remove any dark energy in my reproductive area also. And then just say thank you, and they'll come right in and take care of it.
And what does it mean when, like, I've had instances where I've had people talk about they've tried everything and it still won't go away. That person still remains in their life. Does that mean that there's more to it in this current life than they understand? Or is there almost like a destiny? Or, like, I don't know. Can you speak to that?
Imprints, yes, imprints. So imprints are like fingerprints. So if someone imprints on you, you got to get it off, or not, you're going to keep being drawn right back to them.
What do you mean by imprint?
Okay, so an imprint will leave, you know, like a fingerprint, it will leave a stamp. I'll call it like that. So if you're with someone and they imprint on you, it leaves like a tattoo on you. And until it's removed, you're going to keep drawing them in and thinking about them all the time.
And is that just an unintentional thing? It's like, someone, just you have an experience with someone and you just they imprint on your life because it was meaningful. Is that what an imprint is?
Yes, and they can put an imprint on your body. And this comes from people that are stronger. These people are usually more spiritually advanced, or they were in past lives. So when they have relations with you, it leaves that tattoo, that imprint on you. And then once that's removed, you'll be able to move forward. But if you, even if you do all the energy work, remove all cords, it's going to keep pulling back because of that imprint.
So then, I guess my next question would be, how do you get rid of these tattooed imprints on the body?
What you have to do is you have to figure out where they are. A lot of times I'll see them in the reproductive organs, and the second most common place I see is the solar plexus. So you need to go in there, find out where it is, and then use white fire and then just burn it out and then send healing to that area and it will get rid of it.
Oh, interesting. So, a lot of people don't identify as having trauma yet, and I mean they think trauma means something extreme, but smaller experiences like rejection or betrayal or abandonment can be stored in the body. Where does it store? Can you talk to us a little bit about energy in the body?
Yes. All right. So a lot of people say that they don't have trauma, but you do. Because like the first time that a baby chokes, that's very traumatic for them. They'll even lose a little piece of their soul. Or the first time a baby hits their head hard, they'll lose a little piece of their soul, fragments. So everyone has trauma and it sits in different places. So I wanted to tell you this. I had a lady that had been through some trauma and she had difficulty breathing. And no matter what we did, she still had problems with that. Well, that came from a past life because in a past life, she had really bad gum disease. So everyone around her told her, don't breathe on me. So in this life, she held on to her breath at all times. The doctors couldn't find anything, and it was because of that. So the trauma in the body, it ends up going into the adrenals. But the first place that I see it come is in the solar plexus, because that's like your main energy field. So the trauma can also be stored in your ears and in your eyes and in your brain. So when we're getting that trauma out, we need to see what areas, and then we need to go in there and remove the roots of the trauma out and then heal that area. And then people that have, a great deal of trauma, it'll sit into your adrenal glands. And then you'll need like a central nervous system reset. Sorry, reset.
So, what happens once you start removing these traumas? And by trauma, like we're talking like things that stress, like just everyday stressors. When people remove these stressors from the body, what begins to happen?
I notice that they become peaceful and they're able to ground. Because they'll be like, Sandra, now I can ground. I'm like, yes, because we've got the body calmed down. And just from what we're seeing in the news, that's putting people into fight or flight. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think in our society, when we use the word trauma, people think like trauma is extreme. But trauma, you can be like, when I see an email pop into my inbox, my body reacts in a fight or flight way. Like trauma doesn't have to be extreme. It's just little things that are stressors for the body that the nervous system has to deal with.
Yes. And trauma, it can be, having a disappointment with your child or having a bad argument with your husband can bring all that up because you're not just dealing with right now, you're dealing with all of your past too that's stored in your brain. So triggers definitely.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that like things can be trapped in the body from when they're in the womb, like there's all these things that the body holds on to, and sometimes I mean, I've heard it a million times. You go to the regular Western medicine world doctors and they can't find anything wrong with people, right? And then people turn to people like you for help with energy work, and suddenly people are seeing progress in these ways. There's so much more to us than society gives credit for. And I think it's so interesting and so important to talk about that we are so much more than our physical bodies.
Yes. And what you just said about the baby, that's it. Because when you're in the womb, the trauma that your mother experiences, you feel that too. That's so important. I'm glad you brought that up. That is so important.
Yeah, what about even before conception? What happens to the soul? How do we get brought onto this into this world?
Okay, so right before the baby's born, the soul will come in there. And then he comes when the baby's delivered. Usually, right about that time is their first traumatic experience because they're coming into a room that's cold. They're coming into a room, they're looking at these people, and the way that they're pulled is very aggressive. And then the way they smack them. So that's traumatic in itself. God bless them.
Yeah, absolutely. So why doesn't traditional self-care, why isn't it not enough? I mean, people have their baths and supplements and do yoga and vacations, but they're still exhausted. So why is this work so important?
Energy work is like a necessity. And if I recommend for anyone, I recommend once a month. I do my energy work once every 2 weeks. But your energy body controls your physical body. So you need to have your chakras open, repaired, balanced, and rotated. And you need to have your aura cleansed on the inside and the outside. And that will affect you positively in so many different ways. Once I get people on board with that and they keep doing it, they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can't stop now because it changes you. It really does.
Is this type of work more impactful in person, or does it matter? Can you do it through a computer?
Yes, most of my clients are not in this country, they're in different countries.
Interesting. And how does that work?
What it does is because I'm a shamanic practitioner, so that means I can walk in the spirit world. So let's give an example that I'm seeing somebody in Germany and we're getting ready to begin the work. I go into a trance and I end up right there in front of them doing the work while we're on Zoom.
Interesting. And then have you ever like does is there a difference between in-person work or is it all the same?
It's the same.
I mean, what I've learned to simplify is it really it comes down to intention, right? Intention and coherence. Being an energy worker is a hard job because you have to keep your energy clear.
Exactly. And I like from a distance because I can go into the body. I had a lady that had a mass in her lungs, and what I did is I told her on the first treatment, I want to do it from a distance. So I was able to go into the body and pull it out and burn it. So that's just, I like that way because I had somebody with COVID that had a really hard time getting over that. So I was able to make myself little. This sounds really crazy, but I was able to make myself small and go in there and like funnel it out. And my client was like, oh my God. I was like, I know. I said, it feels heavy, but I'm almost done. And we got it out.
That is phenomenal. How did you know that you had these gifts? Like, where were they born?
Oh my goodness. So I was basically crippled by black magic. I did not know what black magic was. I was in the medical field. And the doctor that I started seeing, he started putting black magic on me to make me sick. So I'd always be around him. So fast forward about 15 years. And at the end, I was bedbound. I couldn't walk. I couldn't work. I lost everything. And one day, because I'm from Alabama and I grew up in the church, but we didn't know anything about black magic, witchcraft, or anything like that. And one day I had a new nurse come to my house to check on me. And she told me, and she was an African American lady, and she told me, you're crossed up. I was like, what? What does crossed up mean? And she's like, you got a hex on you. And I was like, okay. So then I started reading. And because I was so desperate, I just started reaching out, to anyone. And after 7 or 8 times of not finding anyone, I met a shamanic practitioner. And she's the one that told me what I have is shaman sickness. And that I would be able to fight black magic and dark beings. And she was correct. It was a bumpy road. It was very bumpy for about 2 years. Then I got through it.
Wow, so you started seeing a shamanic practitioner to remove the black magic from your body, and that transformed your life, and then you learned it. It was like
Yes.
that was your lesson. It was like the
Right.
hex, so you could learn, and then it was a remembrance almost for you.
Yes. And it was, she got me to a certain point, and then she said, Sandra, and then she told me what my calling was. And she says, they're using ETs, reptilians, and that's not something I can fight. And she's like, I've taken you as far as I can. And I was like, Claudia, I was like, can you
Yeah, you
do
can't
a
leave me hanging.
journey? Yeah. Can you please find out something? And then she came back and she said, Sandra, Archangel Michael wants to talk to you. I was like, okay, because I mean, this is all new to me. I was like, okay. He's like, well, you're a warrior and you're a warrior for him and you have to be initiated. And that just all sounded so bizarre to me because I have the nursing mind. I don't think about these kind of things. So after I got the sword, that's when everything changed. It's like I was getting hit left and right. And it was basically school. I went to school, but I didn't use any of it. What I learned through my situation is what I use.
Right. Yeah, that's incredible, right? It's a lived experience. I believe we go through these dark times to ignite our gifts. Like, I share about my story of addiction all the time, and I've like almost died so many times, but I just had this knowing that I was meant for something so much bigger, and it's just this pinhole glimmer that I held on to. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I was like, I know I'm going to be okay. I know there's something bigger for me, but I didn't know how in the moment. But man, it makes you strong.
Was yours, did you find out if yours was from a spirit attachment?
Girl, I have no idea. I'm not sure at all. I think there's been a lot of, because I'm also empathic, and so people always clung to me for my energy, and so they wanted to be near me because I make them feel good just because of my energy. And so I'm going to assume, but I've never been kind of like I've never looked into it. The addiction attachment is still there. I know it is. I can feel it because I still struggle with some of the trauma from it. So it might be something we can explore another time.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Definitely.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, the average person, if you talk to them about this stuff, they don't understand it. So, how do you talk to an average person in practical terms to make them understand the power of this work?
You're right. They don't understand. And it's hard when I talk to them. So the first thing that I have to tell them is, okay, you believe in Wi-Fi? You're like, yeah. I was like, okay, well, that's an energy. So everything around us is about energy. So what I'll start with the chakras and, the basic stuff first. And that, like I said, talking about the Wi-Fi, that helps them grasp. But still, they look at me like, what are you talking about? But I've had a few clients that I knew before my awakening, and now they understand. They're like little babies. We had to start at the beginning and then just keep growing.
That's great. I love that. Now let's walk people through maybe some like a grounding technique that they can use. I know that people are out there and they're maybe feeling a little stressed or scared. Can you walk us through like what people can do? What are some of the first steps they can do to kind of ground themselves and feel better? And then what are the next steps if someone out there is listening and they're like, "Oh my God, I totally have something attached to me. I need help." What do they do?
Right. So if they have something attached to them and they need help, You're going to call in Archangel Michael. And I'll go back over that. In the name of God, I call in Archangel Michael and 77 of his warrior soldiers to use their sword on anything dark or demonic that is around me or attached to me, and then it'll be gone. All right. So when you want to ground yourself, you've got two ways. You can ground yourself from inside the house or outside of the house. I'm in the south, so we can spend majority of our time outside. All right, so I'll give you one inside. I want you to take your shoes off. I want you to stand up. And then I want you to do your arms like this, because that's going to bring in the light. All right, and then
okay, so
make
for
your
the
hands.
people who are listening, you made a funnel shape with your arms. You held your arms up
Yes.
and made a funnel shape. Okay.
And then have your feet about that far apart. All right, and
so
so
about
what you're
2 feet?
Do, yes, that's perfect. All right, so what you're going to do is imagine roots growing out the bottom of your feet down into the earth. And you're just going to know it. You're going to see it in your mind's eye, or you'll hear like a click. That's what I hear, is a click. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, once you've got that in, I want you to do your arms up in the air, because you're going to bring in the white light, and it's going to come through your body, and then it's going to go out your feet. And just hold it there. Until you'll feel a current. And when you feel the current stop, that means you're finished. And you can just, and then come back. And you can do the same thing out on the beach. And if you want to ask how long, I'd probably say about 5 minutes.
So it's quick.
And for your chakras, you want to keep those open, rotated, and balanced. You need to get that done professionally. But at home, you can buy chakra stones. And hold those stones in your hand, put some water on it, and sprinkle salt, and that'll cleanse it, and then rinse them. And then you're going to put them over your chakras and just lay down for about 15 minutes, and that's going to open them.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today and for introducing this topic to us. I know so many people out there are feeling drained and they don't know why. They don't know what's happening. And the Western medicine system has failed them, and it's frustrating, and they just want to feel better. So knowing that, you know, there are people like you out there, I'm sure will make people feel a lot better.
Yes. And I enjoyed speaking with you guys today.
Thank you so much. For the audience, thank you so much for listening. If you want to learn more about Sandra's work, we will have her information, including her website, in the show notes, where you can book an appointment to see her for whatever it is that you're looking to do and accomplish. There's a lot of us walking around not knowing what is wrong, and it can be really, really taxing and trying on the body. It's time to take charge and reach out to people who can help you. We'll be
Yes, most
breaking down
definitely.
more of these topics. We'll be breaking down more of these topics as the weeks go on. Sandra's going to be joining us for a series, so you'll learn so much more about everything we talked about today. Thank you so much, Sandra, and our audience.
Thank you.
Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast, is back. We've got a brilliant lineup for you this series. We've got Elliot Hashtrudi talking all things offal at his amazing restaurant Camille. Brindisi's Monica Linton sharing her thoughts on the evolution of British cuisine. And the founders of Genki talking all things matcha. All of this plus chats about the future of British cheese and the unique flavours of one of Italy's lesser known regions. That's Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast. Follow on Spotify today.